Bible says an awful lot about the second coming and the return of Jesus Christ. An awful lot. If you look at the New Testament, the Gospels, and how much there is about Jesus' return, Jesus' coming. Paul writes prolifically about the return of the Lord, what we are looking for, how we are to live in the light of his return and coming. And there are some really sobering thoughts also about that. I take them as warnings. For instance, I read in the Olivet Discourse, I believe it's in Matthew 24, 25, and also in another gospel, Luke. But you read their words to this effect, that because in the last days iniquity will abound, it says the love of many will wax cold. The NIV, it puts it this way, because iniquity abounds, the love of most, the love of most will wax cold. Now, what does that say? What does that mean? It means give me oil in my lamp. It means, Lord, keep me shining in the camp. Lord, the tendency, perhaps because of the increase and the flood of iniquity in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. I read things like this. When the Son of Man cometh, talking about his return, will he find faith on the earth? Question mark. Almost as if to say, where will he find it? How much of it will there be? Will it be in you and in me? Will he find faith? Faith that endures to the end. Faith that is the victory that overcomes the world. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? I'm challenged by these questions, these thoughts. Another one has to do with, in Luke 18, where Jesus is about ready to tell them a parable, but he said, I taught them this parable to the end that men ought, and women also, ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, it doesn't necessarily say that, well, in the wickedness of the last days and faith about, but it's implied there, I think. I think the tendency might be for people to become prayerless. There's in one of the apostles' writings, I think it's in Paul's letter, where he says, I prays for them to this end, that we might be ready for him, that we might be sober when he returns, and that we might be those who pray when he comes, are found in that posture. And there are these tendencies, I think, in the last days, to maybe lose the keen edge of faith, or the keen edge of prayer, or the keen edge of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to just mention something about prayer. It came, especially came to me this afternoon when we were in prayer. And we gathered in the room there, and I thought, well, I wonder who's going to come to pray this afternoon. I don't know if anybody will come. I'm not sure. I'll be there, and maybe somebody else will come. And a couple people came. And then all of you came. And we were there sitting around, and we had a wonderful, I thought, a nice time. I don't want to overstate it. We had a nice time of prayer. And I thank God for that opportunity that we had. Always to pray. Buy up the opportunities. I'll probably say it till I go to the grave, but nobody ever takes it seriously. And I guess maybe it's my lack of faith or expectation. But prayer meetings are important. Prayer meetings are vital. You know, my house, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Not a house of pleasure or fun or preaching or even singing. My house is a house of prayer. Well, that means praising. That means, no, it doesn't. It means prayer. And God is needing and looking for those who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge, that is, men and women that would pray. Now, prayer depends primarily on God. We sang this morning, was it? God answers prayer. And he does. God is faithful to answer prayer. It's not so much on our end. And I maybe wanted to get that across to us tonight. It's not our prayers. It's not our faith in our prayers. Sometimes it's in spite of our prayers that God is merciful and gracious to us. It's like the little grandkid that was living in grandma's house with mom and dad, and mom and dad were, or mom was putting the little girl to bed at night, and they say their prayers before they go to sleep. And so this little girl was praying, Lord, bless mommy and bless daddy and bless the missionaries. And Lord, you know how I want, and she was screaming all of a sudden, Lord, you know how I want a new bike. And the mother said, you don't need to scream. God hears your prayer. And the little girl said, yeah, but grandma's in the next room and she's half deaf. You know, we sometimes pray so that other people can hear our prayers. Lord, you know, I'm down to my last dollar, and so I just pray, Lord, that you'll supply the need, and you make sure that the people that need to hear that need hear it. And you know, prayer is looking to Jesus. It's God who we pray to. A God who is debtor to no man, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and is able to supply all of your need. And it's not for grandma to hear or anybody else. Primarily, we pray not to educate everybody around us as to how she really feels. And Lord, you know. Well, if the Lord knows, why do you got to tell him? I'm not telling you, Lord. You know already. But let me let everybody else know. Lord, you know how they need to, and they should have, and they didn't. And we tell the Lord everything that he knows in our prayer. Don't worry about it. He knows it already. But he wants us to ask him. Ask in prayer, not for others or not so they could hear, but we want to let our requests be made known to God. I don't know who it was. It sounds to me it could be probably Vance Havner, because it sounds like Vance Havner, who said, every prayerless day is a statement made by a helpless individual saying to God, I don't need you. Every prayerless day is a helpless individual. That means you and me and every one of us. How dependent are we on God? If we are a Christian, if we are to live the Christian life, if we are to be what he wants us to be every moment of every day, if we are wanting to build our lives on the foundation and use gold and precious stones and silver, how dependent are we on God? And every prayerless day is as if we were saying to God, I don't need you. I can handle life. You can. I can handle every situation that comes my way. You can. I don't know that I can handle anything, or you can either. Someone prayed this afternoon in the prayer meeting, Lord, we don't know what to do. And Lord, we don't know anything. But Lord, we're looking to you. Our eyes are on you. Because Lord, you're the supply of all of our need. We don't want to be people that, as if we're saying to God, Lord, I don't need you. That's why the Apostle Paul says to us in 1 Thessalonians 5, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you is, in part, to pray without ceasing. Now, we can't spend all day, every day in the prayer room or in any room. And even if you were to walk around praying every moment you had, you still couldn't pray 24/7. You have to eat. You have to involve yourself in your job or your schoolwork. But I believe the posture of our hearts every moment of every day is an attitude of petition to the Lord, looking up to him, asking of him, being in communion and in fellowship with him. If you have a Bible and you'd open with me to Romans chapter 8. Beautiful chapter that I'm pretty sure some of you have memorized. We did it in Sunday school many, many years ago. And I have to say, I have trouble with this chapter, keeping it all straight and going through it. I probably couldn't get from the beginning to the end. But in the 26th verse, we have some bad news. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words can't express. Now, Paul is writing this, and he includes himself, as you notice in that verse. Not you don't know what you're doing when it comes to prayer, but this is the Apostle Paul. He's included himself in this statement. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We depend upon God even when it comes to praying. You think you know how to pray because you know how to speak English or Chinese or whatever language you speak. And so I know how to pray. I know how to talk, so I know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. We think we do. We think we need a new bike or a new car or a new job or a new whatever or a venue change or whatever. We think we know, but maybe we don't. We think we need this in our lives to make us more like Jesus. Maybe we need something else other than what we think. Now, maybe the Lord has shown and spoken to us and helped us to understand. Maybe the Holy Spirit has put His finger on something in our lives that we need to deal with Him about. That always happens. I hope it happens. We're not perfected yet. And I don't think I would expect perfection from any of you. You probably don't expect it from me. And if you do, you probably won't see it or get it. Because there are things in our lives that maybe we're unconscious of, things that come to the fore, things that we need help with, but we go to God and He shows us those things, and then we go to work, we pray, we ask Him for help. And then there are times when we read His Word and His Word speaks to our hearts and shows us what we need to pray for. Paul says, we don't know very well ourselves. But the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit shows us and makes intercession for us. I'm thankful for the Word of God that we have, the Bible. I think it was Brother Gordon that taught us one year. It may have been here at camp. I knew Brother Gordon from back home in Ridgewood also, but I think it may have been here at camp. It may have been a 2-week session that I was on staff. And maybe every morning or whatever it was, many meetings, he would focus and speak to us about how we needed to pray the Scriptures. And he would take a portion of Scripture, a prayer in the Bible, Old Testament prayers, New Testament prayers of the Apostle. There are a good number of them in the Bible. And he would enjoin upon us to pray the Bible. You can't really go too far wrong if you're praying the Scriptures. And you can turn some Scriptures also into prayers. Now, if you don't know the Bible, that's another loss. But if we learn the Scriptures, if we read the Bible, if we then, in our reading, if we turn those readings into prayers. Now, you can do that every day because you read your Bible every day. And as you read your Bible, you can then pray about what you've just read. Maybe what you've read is a prayer and you can make it yours. Number of years ago, the popular one was the prayer of Jabez. The prayer that was prayed in the room this afternoon was the prayer of Jehoshaphat. Lord, we don't know what to do, but Lord, our eyes are on you. That's a prayer that he prayed, and God answered that prayer. It was a good one. So was Jabez's prayer. There are many of them. One man was challenged by another man in the church. He said, you don't know your Bible. I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. And the man said, I do so. He said, no, I don't think you do. Let me hear it. The guy said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And his friend looked at him and said, boy, I didn't think you knew it. Well, You got to know the Bible and to learn those prayers, study those prayers, and pray those prayers. And don't say, Lord, let my will be done, even as it's being done in heaven. But Lord, let your will be done. Lord, I'm open to doing your bidding and doing your will. In Ephesians chapter 3, I believe it's the 20th verse, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can, what's the next word? Ask. Now you can think about a lot to ask. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. There's a lot of, you know, exceeding abundantly above what you could ask or think, he's able to do. James says, you don't have, though. Why don't you have? James answers the question. You have not because you, does anybody know? You don't ask. You don't ask. He goes on, then he says, and if you do ask, you ask amiss. But you have not because you ask not. Let's not be guilty. And the tendency may be more so. You know, the emphasis is easy to get off of prayer and onto anything else. Anything else. Prayer is the toughest work for the church. Maybe the most necessary work for the church. And maybe the work that the devil fights hardest against. Maybe with great success. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And there are these practical things as we've been talking about how we learn to pray. You know, I was taught, I still do it sometimes. I don't think I do it all the time, but I was taught to pray with my hand. You all got two hands? Okay, you only need one for the prayers. Well, how do you pray your hand? Does anybody know how to pray your hand? Well, when you put your hands down at your sides, what finger is closest to you? Your thumb, okay? It's closest. So you pray this finger first. And you know what you pray when you pray? You pray for those closest to you. Who are those closest to you? Your family? Yeah, your mom and your dad and your sister and your brother and your cousin maybe. And if you're lucky, your aunt and your uncle or something. Those that are close to you. You pray for them. Pray for your children. How many parents there are that don't pray for their children? They'll educate their children through the roof. Pray for them? I never thought of that. I just want them to go to an Ivy League school. That's all I'm interested in. They got to go to Ivy League school. Why? So they could come out twofold the child. Never mind. I won't get on that subject. Dear Lord, pray. Pray for your kids more than you want to educate them. Oh, I want to really educate them a lot. Well, good. Then pray for them a lot. It's more important that you pray for them than that you feed them. Now, that's a hard statement. Maybe it's not true. Feed your kids. But it's really important that you pray. We were just starting the study on Wednesday night in church, the study in the life of Job. And I'm impressed with Job. I'm impressed with that man's integrity. And I, in the first chapter, how he says, Lord, after my kids get together and they have a festival, I pray for them all. Just in case somebody did something wrong. Not even sure that they did. Now, I know that's a hard thing to think that we should. He lived back in Abraham's day. What did he know about prayer? What did he know about sacrifice? What did he know about anything? He knew precious nothing, almost. But he knew enough to know that I got to intercede for my kids. It's important that I pray for my grown children as well as my grandchildren. Those that are closest to you. Pray for them. And could I add this again? You probably don't know how to pray as you ought. Stop thinking too naturally minded. Lord, they better have a really pretty wife. How about a really godly wife? Oh, they better have a handsome husband who makes a mint so he can support all the kids and live in the country somewhere in a beautiful palace. Well, a good, nice prayer, but why don't you get a better prayer than that? And instead of the rich husband and the wealthy, how about, Lord, send me a husband that will be a man of integrity, a man of God, a man, I don't care if he digs ditches and is a cemetery worker or us, whoever he is, Lord, someone who will lead this family in the right way. maybe our prayers are off. Maybe we need to get back to the Bible and look at how they prayed and ask the Lord to help us because we don't know how to pray as we ought. Well, you don't only have a thumb, but you got a pointer finger. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. You've got a next finger. You got this guy. Now, he does a lot too, but what is he often called? Yeah, he's the index. I spilled the beans. I thought maybe somebody would catch it, but you probably all did, and you were sleeping then. But no, you weren't. It's called the what finger? The pointer. Oh, okay. Now, then pray for those who point the way. Point what way? Well, point the way to Jesus. Well, who's included in those who point the way? Oh, yeah. Pray for the path. Oh, he doesn't need prayer. You want to bet? You know how the devil would like to shoot and kill and destroy your pastor? That's target number one. And, oh, no, pastors are immune. They don't need... Yeah, I know, immune. The Apostle Paul said, when he wrote his letters, pray for us. Pray for me. Oh, no, Paul, you got that wrong. You pray for everybody else. You're the pastor. Yeah, no, I need prayer just as much as anybody else, maybe more so than anybody else. Who else points the way? It's not only the pastor. Your Sunday school teacher. How about the missionaries? You got a different field that you pray for every day, or you pray for them all every day? Whatever you want to do, there's no law or protocol. Those who point the way. I can pray at least 10, 15 minutes for this one, the thumb. I can pray at least 10, 15 minutes if I try to list. And you can list them up. It's okay to write a list. And so you don't forget them all. I've got people telling me I see them precious little. I see some hardly ever. Sister Gerda says to me often, or when she sees me, which isn't that often. But she said to me, my sister prays for you every day by name. When was the last time I saw Sister Ruth Collis? Was it 5 years ago? Four? I don't know. It was a long time ago, I think. Maybe it was here a year or two ago. I don't remember. I don't hardly ever see her. My sister Ruth prays for you every day. Oh, I thank God for people like that. Some of them are dying. A few of them not too long ago. You know, oh, so they were old, expendable. Who needs them anymore? I do. Camp does. Was the people that prayed every day for camp, and that's part of this. People who prayed every day for camp, some of them who we know by name, they're not here anymore praying for anybody. They're in heaven. I don't know what they're doing. But that work has now fallen to you and to me and to us. Pray. Pray for those who point the way. Pray for the counselors. Pray for the, well, pray for those who handle the Word of God. Well, then you got the tallest guy. Well, who's head and shoulders above everybody but King Saul? Well, those are those that are in authority, that are over us. Is there anybody that's in authority over you? Now, that's a good question. Oh, no. Nobody tells me what. Well, is there anybody in authority over you? You know, we have a president. Do you know he needs prayer? I mean, does he ever need prayer? A lot of prayer. Whether you voted for him or not, he needs prayer. And there are a bunch of other guys. I'm not necessarily the fondest of, and they're fans, and I didn't necessarily put them in the positions over. But Paul the Apostle, he wrote a letter to the church at Rome. And who was the emperor of Rome when Paul wrote the letter? Nero. Did anybody ever study or hear of Nero? Great guy, right? He probably wrote the four spiritual laws. No, he didn't. He was, my opinion, demonic. How could anybody watch Rome burn and fiddle away? How could he throw people wholesale to the Colosseum, into the den of lions? How could he be such a barbarian? You think ISIS are barbarians? You think the Taliban, oh good, they're terrible, they're bad. Nero! He had a guy in his cabinet. He didn't call it his cabinet, but a guy named Caligula. You know who he was? You know what he became? He was a little ahead of his time. But he all of a sudden decided that he was going to dress up like women. And he did. Back in those days, they didn't have that back in those days. Those were the good old days. No, those were the same good old, bad old days that always were. Because man is by nature a sinner, evil to the core. And Nero was leading. And this guy Caligula was there as one of the rulers. And what does the Apostle Paul say? Let's have a letter, write a letter. Let's vote him out of office. Let's kick him and assassinate them. Let's do something. Let's do anything and everything, but let's not pray. No, that's not what he said. He writes from to Rome. He says, pray for those that are in authority over you. Well, pray for them. I'll kill them. I'll hit them. I'll kick them. I'll do whatever. I'll spit. Pray. Yeah, pray for those that are in authority over you, that you may lead a quiet and a peaceable life. And then you go back in the other places in the Bible and you say, there's no power except it be ordained of God, who sets up one and puts down another. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I only tell you, God understands it better than I do. And I'm just called to follow what it was that he has written and said. Pray. Those that are in authority. There are more people than just that, just the presidents and the, how about the governors and the mayors and the policemen and this one and that one and the other one. And maybe we could even conclude the head counselor in that category. I don't know. But you know, make your categories. But you can pray a little while for that. We need prayer. Well, then you got this guy. I'm stuck on the hand, but maybe you get prayer. You need this guy. Now, I don't know. I know this is the ring finger. When I was told that this is the weak finger. Is this a weak finger?
Yes.
It is? Oh. I don't play the piano. See, I don't know about that. But okay, it's the weak finger. So it's right. It is a weak finger. Weak. Now, who could I pray for if I'm praying for those that are weak?
Sick.
Oh, sick. Some people are sick. You know people that are sick, and pray for them. Pray for them. There are people that are sick spiritually. There are people that are sick physically. There are people that are sick emotionally. There are people that are sick. You can spend a long time praying for the people that are sick because there are a lot of them. Pray one for another that you might be healed. Oh. Well, I mean, if I'm just using, good thing I don't have two hands to go through because one hand's going to take me over an hour. I don't got an hour to pray every day. I got an hour to pray every day. And then I got to wait on God and spend time. Well, I got no time for all this. Yeah, I know it takes time. That's why nobody does it. Because it takes time away from TV. It takes time away from video games. It takes time away from doing everything that we need to do that's so important. I could talk for an hour on the telephone, but I, dear Lord, maybe we should say, forgive us. We know who we should pray for. We just don't, sometimes. Oh, and then you got the last guy here. Last but not least. Sometimes we walk like this and try to flip it around, but you should keep it in the proper perspective. Who's the little guy on the totem pole?
You.
Yourself. You got anything to pray about? Oh, yeah. I got enough. Got a lot I can ask the Lord. I got enough I can pray about. Well, you know, the Bible, this isn't in the Bible. I can't say, well, you know, in the book of Hezekiah, it's I think chapter 2. And verses 1 to 10, you'll find how to pray the hand method. Don't spend your time looking for Hezekiah. There's no such book. But we can learn better. Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray as I ought to pray. Let my requests be made known unto God. I'm not going to faint along this line. The Church of Jesus Christ needs prayer warriors, people who will take to their knees and spend time in secret, and God who sees in secret will reward openly. Now, I won't keep you but another 10 minutes because I know it's warm in here and maybe too warm for some, but I just want to point out a couple of people in Scripture. You can turn to Acts chapter 12, or you don't have to. You know what happens in Acts chapter 12. There was a man by the name of Peter who got arrested for preaching. It had been just a short time after James, another one of the elders of the church, had been arrested, and they had killed James. They took his head off. That killed him. And Peter, that was then arrested, because people, the magistrates, saw that it pleased the people, so they took and incarcerated Peter. But then we read while Peter was in jail, maybe, not sure, but maybe the night before his execution, he was asleep. He was handcuffed to some soldiers, and he was fast asleep. But what was going on? Not in the jail cell, but going on someplace else in town, they were having a what? A prayer meeting was going on. A bunch of people were at whose house? What was her name? Not Mary. Not Martha. Oh, yeah, well, Rhoda's house, wasn't it?
Well, she
and
his mother opened the door.
Okay. Oh, you're right. You're right, Sister Martha. Okay, so it was it Mary, Martha, their home. But all of a sudden, Peter got released from prison. You remember how an angel showed up and the chains dropped off, the prison doors opened up, and Peter, and escorted by the angel, marched out. And he marched out to, where did he go? He went to the prayer meeting. I don't know how he knew it was going to be there, but he went to that house, and he starts knocking on the door. Yeah, he knocked on the door. And who opens the door but Rhoda? Rhoda, who? Rhoda, who's she? I don't know either. She's some lady. She was part of that prayer meeting. And she ran back in the house. Now, this is what it says. You can read it there. She goes back in the house and she says, now, why were they gathered there? It says it in the Bible. Why were they gathered at that home to pray? Whose release were they praying for? Were they praying for the missionaries? Were they praying the hand method, starting with those that are closest to them? They were praying for Peter. They didn't want him to get killed. They were praying that God would either give him the courage to face what he has to face, the boldness to go through with whatever has to go through, or to get him out of the predicament. We lost James. We don't want to lose Peter. Lord, have mercy. They were praying. And Peter, she opens, looks through, shuts it quick, runs back in, and says, hey, everybody, Peter's outside. And everybody that was praying for Peter to get released from jail, you know what they began to say? Can't be. Can't be Peter. I mean, we're praying for Peter to get released, so he can't get released that soon. Can't happen now. That's got to take some time. We're praying. We're saying, Lord, get him a good attorney, the best. We're collecting. We're making a collection. We pray that enough money. And we pray that brother so-and-so will be able to contribute. Because he's rich. And he's in the next room. And we got it all figured out. We got it all figured out. And Romans 8 says, you just forget about your methods and your means and how it's gone. But Lord, it's got to be, this is the way we got it all figured out. That's got to happen. And then Lord, we know what you're going to, we're going to get the best attorney in town. And if the glove fits, you must acquit. And there, we got him out. Dear Lord. They're praying for Peter's release. Peter shows up at the door. And these people inside there are saying, oh, it can't be. It must be his ghost. I mean, I would have an easier time believing it was Peter than thinking it was his ghost. Ghosts don't show up at my door. I've never had a ghost show up at my door. If I did, I don't know what I would do. I might run. I don't know what I would do. What's going on here? What I'm trying to say is this. They were praying. But maybe they weren't, at least maybe not having enough faith. Maybe they didn't believe that God could answer so quickly. Maybe they didn't believe that God was going to do it this way. It had to be that way. You know, when you pray for healing, it has to be that the pastor has to come over to you, lay hands on top of your head, and you have to feel something go zzzz, and then you're healed. Otherwise, it's not happening. You can't just sit in a meeting and sing a song and worship the Lord. You can't get healed that way. Why not? Peter was in the middle of preaching a sermon, and I don't know what the sermon was about, it doesn't say, but he was in the middle of preaching a sermon, and all of a sudden he perceived that there was faith in that man over there to be healed. Christ Jesus makes you whole, right in the middle of his preaching. Oh, don't limit what God can do, but even limiting what God can do, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we could even ask or think. And that encourages me. It encourages me because maybe sometimes I'm praying and the Lord is saying back, and I'm not hearing it, that is crazy what you're asking. That's an idiotic prayer if I ever heard one. Waldfogel, Sierra La Boca, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if the Lord would talk to me like that way. Maybe he would. But sometimes maybe our prayers are not, they're kind of like the prayer in Peter's house, but he sees the effort that we put forth. You don't have because you don't ask. I know, but at least I'm giving it a good shot, Lord. At least I'm asking. In spite of ourselves, Lord, you see what we're trying to do. You see our hearts. You know our hearts. And your spirit makes intercession. Your spirit helps us. Your spirit interprets the desire of our heart. You don't have to sit there going, oh, oh, that's not necessarily groanings that cannot be uttered. Oh, I've heard people try to groan like that, and I've heard people groan in the spirit, which is legitimate, but others just, they're trying to put it on. You don't have to make noises. You don't have to sound like you're sick to your stomach or something like that. But the Holy Spirit is able to interpret the desire of my heart. He knows the thoughts and the intent of my heart. And sometimes that's bad, but sometimes it's good. Just one more, and I won't keep you the rest of the night, but just one more. I think of the prayer that, it's in 1 Kings 19, the prayer of Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, that man, it was a tremendous feat. You remember on Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal and Elijah stood by himself, and he called down fire from heaven, and fire came down from heaven and answered to his faith and to his prayer. And then Jezebel puts out a warrant for his arrest. Dead or alive. Yeah, that's what he was saying. Dead or alive, I'm going to get that guy and I'm going to make him like those prophets of Baal that he just put to death with the edge of the sword. But tomorrow he's going to be dead too. And the mouth of Jezebel hath spoken it. Well, what did Elijah do? Well, what do you think he did? He said, well, God answered by fire. God can take care of me now. He started to sing, God will take care of me. No, he didn't. He said, feet don't fail me now. And there was a cloud of dust. And he made a beeline. I don't know if he packed his bag. He just ran. And he ran for his life. I mean, he didn't just run, you know, down the road and die lay down under a tree. He ran clear out of the country. I mean, he just kept on going, and he ran, and he plopped down under a tree, and he prayed. Whew, finally, he prayed. But you remember his prayer? He didn't pray such a good one. He said, Lord, please take my life. I want to die now. So, Lord, please end it right now for me here. Lord, hear my prayer. You're able to answer the cry of my heart. And I want to die. And I want to die now. And the Holy Spirit heard that prayer. And the Holy Spirit said, Father, that's not what he means. He doesn't really know what he's talking about right now. But what he really wants to do is he really wants you to deliver him from Jezebel. And he really wants to take the horn of oil and anoint Elisha to be prophet in his stead. He really wants to be what you want him to be. Don't listen to the stupidity of his prayer. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You know what? God didn't answer Elijah's prayer. Oh, he did in chapter 18, but he didn't in chapter 19. And I don't know all the answers as to why, but I'm glad. Are you not glad that God hasn't answered some of your prayers? I could say a lot of things right now, but I won't say any of them. But you might not be here, and you might be married to the wrong person, or you might be living in the wrong whatever it might be. God doesn't answer every one of our well-intended, well-meant, what we really thought. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit is able to help us. The Holy Spirit, John 14 says, the Holy Spirit takes our weaknesses. He is an advocate. You know what an advocate is? A paraclete. The one that goes in the middle, like an attorney. I have a friend that just, a couple of years by now, but he sat on a case. He was one of the jurors on a case. And he said he really thought that the guy would have gotten acquitted if he just let his attorney do the talking. But he spoke up and he said he sunk himself. If the guy would have just kept his big mouth shut, he might have been a free man, but he didn't keep his big mouth shut. And he got on that stand, and when he got on the stand, he wasn't a very convincing witness on his own behalf. He should have let the advocate do the talking. He should have let the attorney, the one who knows how to say it and say it right and say it well. You know, teach me, Lord, to pray. Teach me to pray. Teach me to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In another place also, we're told that we are to pray in the Spirit. Put on the armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Lord, I know to say words, and I know how to ask for things, and I know what I want and what I think I need. And so it's a given. I know how to pray. But none of that really qualifies prayer. Not as I ought. Prayer is an art that can only be taught by God. You can read Andrew Murray's book with Christ in the School of Prayer and R.A. Torrey's books on prayer, and they're wonderful, good helps. But I believe the only one that can really teach us to pray is the Holy Spirit, God. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Be thou my pattern day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Living in thee, Lord, and thou in me. Constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me thy power, boundless and free, power with man and power with thee. My weakened will, Lord, thou canst renew. My sinful nature thou canst subdue. O Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, not a formal prayer, not just going through the motions, not just saying the words. We don't know how as we ought, Lord. But we ask for your help, Jesus. We don't have to pray the King's English. We don't have to know how to say all the fancy words and the these and those. Lord, just help us to pray from our hearts. And to bring to you a request, to bring to you a petition, to call upon you in the day of trouble. Lord, that's why I have no edge on this. These children that are here tonight can ask of you, and you hear them as well as you hear me, if not better. You're no respecter of persons. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you're patient. And that you're so gentle with us. And Lord, we just ask tonight, teach us better. Teach us better these coming days. We'll be praying for the boys in the village, the children in the cottage. We'll be praying for the guests that are at camp. We'll be praying for the sick. We'll be praying for our country, our land, and our leaders. We'll be praying for those near and dear to us. We'll be praying for our own lives, for your help to be granted. Teach us to pray. teach us to pray the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We thank you for it.